You betray me. So who the hell are you to save me? I never would have made it, babe. If you needed love, well then ask for love. Could have given love, now I'm taking love. And it's not my fault, cause you both deserve what's coming now. So don't say your word. Wake up call, caught you in the morning with another one in my bed. Don't you care about me anymore? Don't you care about me?
This is Mona and Noah Save the World, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
And we are here with Mona and Noah Save the World. Another week. It feels like this is one of the first times we've actually had like 2 weeks in a row of our show.
Yeah, it's really been a hectic semester.
It's been crazy. It's been so crazy. But here we are. It's Saturday night.
Yeah, Saturday night.
It just played some old school Maroon 5, which we'll get into the reasons for that later.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel, I don't know, I feel like listening to that confirmed all my thoughts. Yeah.
But yeah,
confirmed everything I was thinking.
Should we?
Is it time?
Yeah.
Is the small talk's
having
over?
Having suspense for our listeners.
Today we want to talk about the broad, vague concept of selling out.
I don't know how broad and vague it is.
I feel like it's pretty broad and
vague. I think it just has a lot of like applications, but people know what selling out is.
They do, but I feel like at least I use it to mean a lot of things that it probably doesn't mean. I'm like, oh, what a sellout for like anything. I'm like, ah.
We'll get there.
But for
me. How does it relate to Maroon 5?
Okay, how does it relate to Maroon 5 is I feel like Maroon 5 is a classic example of a band that just is a total like sellout band. Like when you listen to that song Wake Up Call, you're like, ah, this is some, you know, kind of,
it's like a little edgy.
Alternative edgy. I mean, you know, the lyrics are like, I caught another one in my bed so I had to shoot him dead. Like, it's not sugary.
It's not like the song Sugar
by Maroon 5,
which is pure pop synthetic.
I think we should play later on. I think we should just show the evolution, because now when you listen to Maroon 5...
Is it an evolution or is it a devolution?
Devolution. What I heard, which is interesting, is that the song Moves Like Jagger, which is actually one of my favorite Maroon 5 songs. Mm-hmm. But I'm sad to say that, because apparently before that song, they wrote all their own music. And then that song totally like blew up, and it was the first song they hadn't written, and it became their most successful song.
Ouch.
And so then down we went into current Maroon 5, which is just glossy pop song mm-hmm. after glossy. They have a new one now. It's like sad, but it's not sad. It's not
sad pop.
It's sad glossy pop. It's like just glossy sadness, which is funny because I feel like, again, you know, if you think about what's that song, She Will Be Loved. Mm-hmm. That to me had some actual emotion behind
it. Yeah. I mean, if other people are writing your songs, you, like, when you write a song, it's because it's based off of your experiences and your life, and like, when you perform it, like, you carry that in with you. But if somebody else writes your song, like, you don't have those experiences. Maybe you can, like, sympathize, but, like, you're not singing from the heart, maybe.
Okay, I want to challenge that, though.
Okay.
Because I do think you can sing other people's music from the heart. Like,
I was talking with somebody about this. They are not, they have a lot of experience with, like, not American things. And they're like, it's so strange that in America, actors, like, play a character in their own way. Like,
Ooh.
You have the, like, Johnny Depp version of this character,
yeah.
and then like this other person version of this character, because like in other places you're trained to perform a character as the character, and so like you're more just like a canvas for the character to be painted on, instead of like a brush painting the character in your
Ooh.
Own way, if that makes sense.
And that makes sense with, like, again, the American ideal of, like, individualism mm-hmm. and, like, it's me.
This person is such a great actor, the way they,
yeah.
like, shape these characters to, like, create a new meaning.
Yeah.
But, like, the playwright
oh, that's so interesting.
Had a meaning.
I can't remember. My dad, maybe he'll text me and say if he's feeling generous. He was talking about a really famous singer who never wrote any of his own songs and was, like, criticized for it, and his response was like, once an interview asked him like, why don't you write your own songs, and he was like, I feel like my job is to like bring life to other people's lyrics, like
mm-hmm.
that's just my, like, I'm here to give a voice to those,
it's like
lyrics,
it's like if somebody has an idea for a painting but isn't a good painter,
yeah.
I'm a good painter, let me,
yeah. And so, yeah, I think it's not for me necessarily that Maroon 5 stopped writing its own music per se. It's that, like,
they shift,
like, mm-hmm. I don't know how to say it. Like, they went from writing their own music to being like, okay, we'll just do whatever we'll make.
Yeah,
here's what to do. Whereas whoever this famous singer was, who I don't remember, went out with the intention of, like, I want to bring life to mm-hmm. other people's. I don't see Maroon 5 sitting there being like, wow, let's bring
Which
new
I guess
life
is the
to
idea.
Sugar.
It's
like,
not a problem that people don't perform original works or that type of thing. It's a problem that people sell out and stop doing the things that they wanted to do and start doing things that it is being told of them to do.
Yes.
I think
there
it's,
we go.
We can't talk about selling out without talking about, like, the dialectic of authority and, like, obedient individual.
Oh, tell me more, Noah. Tell me more.
Well, so I think it's ultimately this struggle between, like, the people who want to make their own music and, or, like, who have these visions and these dreams and want to pursue them, being told that they need to compromise to, like, fund that dream or to, like,
mm-hmm.
have an audience for that dream to be broadcasted out to. Because, like, you have to sign with a record label mm-hmm. if you want your music to be listenable.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you sign that contract, the record label says, okay, we like these parts of your music, but you need to tone down this other stuff. It's just too much.
So true.
I think this happens in pretty much every field. I think a big one to talk about would probably be like media.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, it's because for those of you who don't know, my mother is an author.
Mm-hmm.
A very... Mm-hmm. If anyone's, you know, anyone listening...
Any long-term
like,
fans.
It's Marjan Kamali. Look her up. But we have talked... She has said, it's interesting, that like a lot of authors will be like, I'm not part of the mainstream. Like, I'm going to sit and write my like obscure
mm-hmm.
personal stuff. And she was like, in some ways, that's easier... to do than to write something that
is going to be widely consumed.
Is both widely consumed and not terrible. Like, mm-hmm. finding that balance of something that's accessible to people but isn't just, like, you know, fluff mm-hmm. is really hard. And I feel this too. My pet peeve is people who are like, pop music is for the dumbed down masses, like mm-hmm. blah blah blah. And I'm like, okay, that, you know, or like people who are like the Kardashians, like people, you know, America sits and watches the Kardashians all day. Okay, yeah, that's true. Like, what are you gonna, okay, what does that mean? Like, what does that say about people other than just I'm so much better than you? Like, is there a way to have mass media still be meaningful? Like, I think the answer is yes, of course you can have meaningful mass media, but mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, like, I would say Marjan Kamali's media is both accessible and powerful, but mm-hmm. I feel like this idea that, like, mass media by definition is, like, for the, you know, for the mm-hmm. lesser, and like us intellectuals.
Oh, you uncultured,
yeah, you
people.
Uncultured people sitting watching reality TV.
Culture is only because in order to culture is used as a means of, like, dividing people
yeah.
and having supremacy over others.
Yeah.
And so if popular things can be cultured, then what's the point of culture? It,
yeah.
like, stops serving that effect.
So true. Like, the class-based, you know, like, mm-hmm. the class-based aesthetics of, like, what is...
Yeah.
You know, what is meaningful? Who are you to say what's meaningful? I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
Like, not, I'm not saying that the other parts aren't true. Like, of course there is mm-hmm. a huge problem when the entire country is sitting watching the Kardashians instead of being politically mobilized. You know what I mean?
Like,
that's obvious.
Having fun with your kids.
Yeah, but it's, I feel like to make it into a I'm so much more intellectual than you mm-hmm. problem is, like, completely going against the point.
There,
like,
is
just,
some really interesting philosophy that could be discussed here about there are two different levels of pleasure. There's, like, physical pleasures, mm. which is, like, eating and, like,
yes, what else,
less
Noah?
Savory things.
Noah's like, what's the FCC
but then there's
say
like,
if I say the word sex on air?
But then there's, like, intellectual pleasures of, like, playing chess and doing mm. all these things. And this one philosopher was like, everyone who does the first, how can we differentiate them from animals and pigs who
Whoa.
Also enjoy eating and mating? But, like, it is truly, like, humans who can, like, rise above and pursue these, like, cultured activities and, like, these mentally arduous tasks. And it's like, why not both? Why?
Yeah, why?
Like, why do we have to, like,
think,
always be doing
totally
these fancy,
agree.
Ritzy things? I say it's
I
like,
totally agree.
I'm going to go to a ballroom dancing competition tomorrow, which feels so elegant.
But, like, but, I just feel like, again, I feel like that's...
But, like, ballroom dancing should be accessible to
yeah.
everybody who wants to be a part of it. And I think
yeah.
here at Tufts, like, I know Tufts
I
is already
ballroom,
very,
yeah.
exclusive. But
when
I do
you,
think people,
yeah.
like, there are a lot of team bins, so you don't have to pay ridiculous amounts mm-hmm. of money to get, like, the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it tries to be accessible and affordable, which is
yeah.
important.
Yeah,
but
I totally
at the same
agree.
Time... There's sort of like this imbued exclusionary
yeah.
culture. Like, I think this is a big problem with fraternities, is like, by nature, certain people will just not be attracted to them
mm-hmm.
because they won't feel like they fit in because there are no
mm-hmm.
role models in them, and
mm-hmm.
it perpetuates this cycle. And I think in a large part, like, that's very true. And it's not like these fraternities are trying to stop that. I was in Craft Center the other day, and there were a lot of fraternity bros.
Interesting.
Interesting, until you hear what they were doing in Craft Center, which is
what were they doing?
Making paddles. Yeah, it was so strange.
Wait,
like,
I need more context.
Paddles that fraternities typically use for, like, hazing initiations.
Oh.
But apparently, it's just, like, something fun they do, and it's a tradition. I was very skeptical of all of this.
Wow,
because
that's sketchy.
Very sketchy.
That's extremely
sketchy. I was debating being
sketchy.
Like, maybe TUPD should knock on this door tonight and make sure that people
yeah.
are not being hazed. I know. I'm very opposed to Greek life. Abolish Greek life.
Interesting. Did you see, I don't know if you were at the TFL comedy show, which was a real time.
I wanted to go, very busy.
A real time, but... in one of the video,
mm-hmm.
there's
a video sketch.
Yeah, have you heard about late night at late nights? It's like a play on late night talk shows. It's at late night. At
I see. That's adorable.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Which late nights?
Commons.
Everybody, Calm Late Night.
I know, but Calm Late Night is in Siberia, so it's so far. But they were going around and interviewing people on what would you rather? Would you rather abolish all Greek life or the men's lacrosse team? And every single person was like, "Oh, the men's lacrosse team for sure." And they had like, you know, little dings. It was like men's lacrosse team, ding. Men's lacrosse team, ding. Men's lacrosse team. Ding. No one said Greek life.
¿Por qué no los dos?
Yeah, that's fair.
Abolish both. You know, I'll go on a campaign against both. Well, like, why do we hate the lacrosse team? Because they're like just connected, more visible about the like problems, whereas Greek life has been forced to like hide them a bit more.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, because the lacrosse team house is not officially recognized by Tufts, whereas the Greek life is formally sponsored by Tufts University.
Crazy. Okay, I feel like we've strayed from God's path of selling out. But we wanted,
as is tradition on this show. That's right, we can abbreviate the name MNSTW.
Hashtag, what happened to our Instagram, Noah?
Maybe we should make a post during the next song break.
Yeah, we need to come back.
Is that selling out, though?
I think this is such an interesting question of, like, is reaching more people by definition selling out?
If you do things you wouldn't normally do to reach those people, right?
Yeah, but, like, again, couldn't you, like, don't you kind of, I don't know.
For me, selling out is when money comes before morals.
Okay.
Even if that is a rational and fair compromise, and I think sometimes selling out is understandable, and I can sympathize with people sell out.
Sometimes it's necessary. Yeah. Sometimes you just gotta, do
it. There is a huge amount of privilege to not selling out.
Yeah. Ooh. Interesting. That's fair.
Yeah. Morals and money definitely have a relationship. Like, it's definitely like people are more able to practice morals when they have the means of doing so.
But when I feel it, but also couldn't you argue that when they have what, like
when people have too much money, their morals also go away, because then they don't need morals anymore.
Yeah,
maybe morals are just a way to like have people, like it's like a social form of currency. It's like,
ooh.
Oh, you like, you fit in because you have these good morals.
Well, that was the other thing we were talking about last week. Remember when we were like, people who technically do good things but are terrible people, and you just know it, and you're like, I don't have a reason to know this, but I just know,
like, I can feel the vibes.
I can feel you're a bad friend, or like, you know, like you don't treat your friends well, you don't, you know, I don't know, you're not good one-on-one. Mm-hmm. But then you're going out and like
you see them do all these nice things,
and then you're like, well, I mean, those are objectively pro-social things.
Yeah, well, I mean, like Bill Gates donates copious amounts of money to like malaria research.
Yeah.
Why does Bill Gates have that much money in the first place?
But can you blame Bill Gates for that? Like, is that Bill Gates's? I mean,
Bill Gates makes money by not paying his workers the like proceeds that they generate. He skims off the top.
But I guess what's hard is like, I don't know.
He also said, I would rather vote for a conservative than have a wealth tax. He said, I'd vote for Donald Trump over...
No, he didn't.
Over having a 3% tax on wealth.
Bill.
He would still have billions of dollars.
What? Did he really say that?
Millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. What was his reasoning? Just he doesn't want to pay the tax?
He doesn't want to pay the tax.
That's so weird.
Back to selling out.
But I feel like I was going to say something. Oh, I don't know.
Just like people with moral...
I was going to say like... Isn't like... How do we get... I guess this isn't terrible.
How do you get wealthy people to have good morals?
Well, how do you get people to be like, you know what? I'm going to say no to that money. You know, I'm going to... Like, what would you do that? I wouldn't do that. I'd be like, okay, well, here we are. Like,
my judgment is if people... Like, you don't see, like, wealthier people, like, robbing grocery stores. Because they don't... Or, like... pickpocketing or stealing from grocery stores because they don't need to.
Okay.
Like, a lot of crime is the result of poverty.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Why do people join gangs? Because there's an economic and social motivation, you know? in most cases. So, like, if we have, I think, a level of social welfare where people, like, have their basic needs taken care of, and, like, every, like, if people didn't have to, if people didn't feel pressured to do bad things to, like, have a stable mm-hmm. life, then I don't think people would do bad things.
No, that's what I mean. I feel like I'm asking, like, people who, like, when people are like, oh my god, these, like, you know, like, someone, like, what's a good example of this? I don't know why I'm coming back to the Kardashians, mm-hmm. but when it's like, people were like, the Kardashians get paid like $1 million to advertise something on Instagram, which yeah. is obviously problematic. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, when people were like, well, how are they doing this, blah, blah, blah? Like, one of them was like, I mean, wouldn't you? Like, I mean, is it, how do we get people to be like, okay, I'm going to say no to that? It just seems like it's like so ingrained in us to be like, well, okay, she was like, if you had an easy way to make money, like, wouldn't anyone? And, like, of course, the answer is that they already have an obscene amount of money yeah. and don't need to. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, at that point, the floodgates
but
been
I'm
open.
Saying,
they've
is
already
blaming,
sold
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I'm saying, is blaming them individually, like, doing anything? Well, like, is to be like, how dare you, Kim Kardashian? Is that really the best...
I mean,
channeling of energy.
I think.
Am I just defending the Kardashians?
I mean,
it sounds
like if people in that position are like advertising things that are made by immoral companies,
which they always are. It's always like terrible, terrible products. That's
like
our
yeah. We should be criticizing them, and like especially because they have the economic privilege
yeah.
to not need to do that. And if the idea is that somebody eventually would sell out and advertise for this company, like, at least make it somebody who, like, actually needs the money.
Yeah.
And then instead...
But I guess I feel like I'm making your point here. The point I'm trying to make is that it's an inherent part of the capitalistic culture to always...
Sell out?
Yeah, to always be like, yeah, okay, I'll take that money. So...
Because,
by
like,
blaming individuals, like, if we redirected that energy to, like...
Blaming the system
and blaming the collective, like, things we're taught about money.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely an element of money worship that's like even in my negotiations class, it's so much easier to negotiate with things that are not money. But once it's like, oh, we both have $20,000, this product needs $30,000, but you don't know about I can say, oh, I only have $10,000. You must have 20,000, and then I'm like, haha, I get to keep my 10,000. Like, I've been there. People have, like, definitely done that.
Yeah.
I'm going to hide this money
yeah.
because it benefits me. Even when it's completely made up, it's just a simulation.
Yeah.
But with other things, if it's like, oh, I have this, like, bus that I could contribute, people are way more willing. We just, mm-hmm. like, have this... We're so nervous around money
mm-hmm.
because... If you have money, you get to live. But if you don't have money,
mm-hmm.
it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So.
Interesting. You seen that video? Have you seen the Prisoner's Dilemma game show thing where, of course, I don't know the Prisoner's Dilemma well enough to, like, say it right, where mm-hmm. the guy found out a way to hack it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What did he say?
Okay, so there's, he says, I've already taken the money for myself.
So you should.
So either we can both not get it, or you can just let me have it.
And I'll give you it.
No, I don't think he said that. I think he said...
No, he did.
He did. I'll give it to you.
He was like, I'll give you half, but you have to trust... He was like, I'm going to take it for myself, and you
mm-hmm.
just have to trust that.
I'll give you half.
And that I'll
but
give you
half. If you
but
say no, neither
didn't.
Of us get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but then he didn't he? I don't know. I don't remember the Prisoner's Dilemma.
Okay, so the Prisoner's Dilemma is if you both... Like, if it's with money. If you both take the money, neither of you get
yeah.
the money. If one of you takes the money and one of you doesn't take the money, the one person gets
yeah.
it. And if neither of you take the money,
you
both of you
get
a lot of
all
money.
Okay, so he said, listen, I'm going to say I'm going to take the money.
So
you just say you're not going to take the money and I'll give you half and you just have to take my word for it. And the guy
mm-hmm.
was like, what? What do you do? What? And then he was
mm-hmm.
like, you just have to take my word for it. I'm taking the money. You say no, I'm going to take it.
Yeah, because if you say yes,
and
we
then,
both lose.
Yeah, he said, if you say yes, we'll both lose. This is your only chance.
Mm-hmm.
And then they both said no.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
the guy
I mean?
Actually said no.
The guy
no,
actually
he was
said
lying.
No, but
yeah.
he was just getting him to also say no,
mm-hmm.
which was so, it was such a good, it's a very, like, you know, kind of cute viral video where you're like, aw.
Yeah.
There's some good people. Okay, why do I keep... I'm, like, derailing us so
There's
much.
Some good people, but also he had to, like, be like, you will lose all the money.
No, but he didn't. He said, I'll give it to you.
That's good, I guess.
He said, you just have to trust that I'm going to give it to you.
You just have to trust. I mean, the, like, you could also say, I've said no, like, be a good person and help me and also say no.
No, but then, but...
Well, yeah, because then they'll say,
then they'll be like, well, you're just lying to me. I'll just take it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, like, I'll just take it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the only way, and he played his part so well.
Okay.
He's a hero to our culture. He should come on the show. My entire extended family, I told them they should all come on the show, and my mom was like, you want all of us? We can't all come. I was like, you can all come. I think they should have come.
They could.
Can you tell my mom?
Everybody come on the show. Mona's extended family, come on the show. We'd love to have you. Mona and Mona's extended family and Noah save the world next week at 7 p.m.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Okay, do you want to actually be concise and focus on the topic?
I know. Have you been doing? I feel like we've been. It's not like we've been talking about like really incredibly random things. It just shows how conversation leads into. Yeah, and I think that's okay. Mm-hmm. We should accept that.
I agree. That's like the foundation of the
show.
But
now it's time. It's time to like bring it back and like reflect on like what we've talked about so far.
Oh, what we've talked about so far.
No, I don't. I'm just saying that. Oh. You just talk about whatever you want.
Sure. So. I want to talk about... So, it's very clear... I feel like people's initial judgment when you hear selling out is, like, the arts. Because it's always artists.
Of course.
Just because just because we believe that, like, artists have morals. And they're always doing things from their morals and their, like, personal truths. Mm-hmm. And then, like, to broadcast that, they always have to, like, commercialize a little
Maybe
bit.
Maybe we're just discriminating against artists.
But, like, I argue that, like... A lot of fields sell out. Like, I want to be a chemist, and my boyfriend wants to be eventually a judge, but for a long time before that, a lawyer. And so, both of those, many opportunities to sell out.
Oh, yeah.
As a chemist, working for a big, like, my ideal is to do research, but in order to make enough money to go to, like, to get a PhD in chem, I'll probably have to work for a big chemical company at some point. And hopefully I'll be able to just, like, make some nice chemicals, but there's definitely a lot of scandals about big chemical companies making very toxic and dangerous chemicals that they shouldn't be, and getting in all these big lawsuits. I had a friend whose parent was a lawyer for a chemical company.
Oof.
Which, like, lawyers, corporate lawyers, like, we were talking about this also in my negotiations class. Like, I mean, public defenders... Not making a ton of money, but I would say most people would say, like, having the best morals.
Yeah.
Corporate lawyers, the lawyers for, like, ExxonMobil, they get paid a lot of money because people aren't lining up to do that job, you know?
No.
Obviously, like, I think that's a very clear case of selling out.
I would say being a lawyer for ExxonMobil is definitely selling out.
Unless your passion is big oil.
I think, I agree with you that any field can have selling out, and any field can have...
It's something sort of like the non-profit versus the corporate. Like, I feel like that... But even, like, non-profits sometimes sell out.
But also, I feel like any field can sell out, but it's never... it's never black and white.
You know
it's
what?
Never, like,
you know, I guess I'll finish this. Like, as a chemist, I hope to be doing research also one day. Like, that's my ideal. But should I accept research that's, like, the U.S. military? Somebody I was talking to was like, one of my friends wanted to work for NASA, but then they realized all of NASA's technology is just given to the U.S. military.
No!
I mean, why not? Like, it's the same. They're both the government. So, like...
I just wanted a dramatic reaction to what you said.
You can't work for NASA and not also maybe, in a small part, be working for the U.S. military.
Yeah, but again, it's, like... I feel like we're thinking about it too black and white. Like, can you boycott the entire military? Like, that's hard. And is it...
True.
Like, I feel like a big example, maybe this is a personal example, but, like, big pharma. Like, not to expose anyone, but certain people in my family, aka my father, like, fully worked in big pharma. And he genuinely believes, and, like, again, he has a point, that he was helping save many, many people by developing these drugs that were life-saving, which
as
is
like a,
not
as
incorrect.
A drug developer, like a scientist?
No, on the business side. On the business side. But, I mean, also, and then if you ask him about it more, he's like, well, what was I supposed to do? You know, he's an immigrant. He's like, I didn't know, you know, I wasn't able to just sit around and be like, let me think about. He was like, okay, this is something
that's
going
to... Yeah, it's easy
gonna,
to, like,
it's
moralize
to,
and philosophize.
Yeah, thinking, oh, well, what am I going to do with my... He was like, I had to come. I had to do something that was going to make me money. And in his mind, he's like, well, and I hope I did something. He's like, I think I did, you know. He's like, and I contributed some positive things. I don't know. Sorry to expose you, Dad, on air to our, like, four listeners. we're going to get a call being like, Big Pharma... But again, can I sit here and be like, oh my God, Dad, like, how could you do that? Like, how can I, like, when, how can, well, his life situation, I mean, that was his life situation.
Yeah, I think this is when it's valuable, again, to, like, critique the system and say, like, and there's this philosophical concept of, like, you go behind a veil of ignorance and you forget yourself and you forget your identity and you forget all of your wants and desires and you pretend that you're a blank slate and you could be any person with any motivations, any sort of, like, physical characteristics, and, like, if the world was structured, and you had to be placed into the world, but you didn't know who you would be, you didn't know what you would want to do, like, how would you design the world? And it's like, I would design the world so that, regardless of who I was, I wouldn't have to, like, go against my morals to do things. We're talking, like, in... A question that was brought up in negotiation was, like, what if you have to do things that are against your morals, but, like, you don't have any alternatives? You have no ability to back away. And it's, like, in, like, the Vietnam War, like, people fully knew that they were, like, killing civilians, but the alternative is getting court-martialed and maybe, like, going through this whole extensive legal process, maybe going to prison or jail for some time, like, having a lot of consequences for the rest of your life, and in a lot of ways it's easier to just go out
and be
a part of it. Yeah, and, like, can you fault people for doing that? Everybody wants to be like, I would never do that. Like, we're like, if you're told to torture somebody, would you do it? Like, no, of course not. Like, I believe in revolution, fighting, and, like, standing
and
for what's right. But it's also like, if there's a gun held to your head, like,
no, not even if there's a gun. Oh my God, why can't I remember it? The social psychology experiment, the shock one. What's it?
Oh yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And when they followed up on those people, it was not at all. I found this so interesting. I had to read a book for AP Psych, and they followed up with the people who were part of that initial, arguably controversial, maybe unethical experiment. But some of the people who refused to deliver the shocks, like, they followed up with one of the guys, and again, he was a total jerk. He had minimal morals. He was just kind of like a rebel for the sake of being a rebel, you know what I mean? Whereas they followed up with someone who went, like, all the way, and he was like, that experience changed me, it made me think about XYZ. Now he's like a progressive XYZ. So again, it just shows, I feel like it's so easy to just be like, well, you individual person, like, shouldn't have done XYZ, instead of thinking, like, what are the circumstances that are motivating
in that
people
case,
to
it's
do
like
these things?
Authority and people in lab coats telling you to do things. In our society, it's money and like a need to have food and housing and a college education for your kids. And
for the lawyer thing, like, one of my sociology readings was about working class students who go to law school, and according to the study, a lot of them go in being like, I'm gonna be a public defender XYZ, and then a lot of them come out being like, listen, I just gotta do what I gotta do.
Yeah,
I, you know what I mean, I'm gonna be a corporate lawyer, and that's just how it is. And it's like, can you be like, oh my God, how could you, how dare you? No, like,
it's very understandable. It's also like, like, politicians who, like...
Oh, that's such a good one.
...want to be elected for broader campaigns.
That's such a good one.
I personally think there's a lot of value in not selling out, because I think a lot of people want politicians who don't feel like they've sold out. So, politicians, you don't have to sell out.
That's so true, Don.
But, I mean, at the same time, in America, there is objectively money in politics. And, like, corporate interests are allowed to like raise and spend money to lobby politicians. And so like at some point you just like, and like it is, the science is very clear that like if you don't raise enough money, in no circumstances will you ever be the candidate, because people need to know your name and people need to, there needs to be press about you. It's broken in a lot of ways, and I think some people want to change that, which is good. And like grassroots organizing, I think, is like a way to battle against that, which is appreciated. But it's definitely tricky, and we definitely need a lot of pretty radical change to do things differently so that people don't feel like they have to sell out, so that people can, especially like the two-party system, there are people who don't fit into those two parties but are like, if I don't vote for this person in this one party, the other party is going to get elected, and then that's even worse. It's like, that's not how representation should work, that you're not voting for someone who represents you, but under the voting system we have, it's kind of how it has to go, which is why people want to change the voting system to instead of pass the post to multi-voting and all of that jazz, which is cool.
Noah, you're a wise man.
I try.
You're a wise man.
I assume you have a song for us then.
Okay, I'm so conflicted. I want to play a contrasting Maroon 5 song, but I don't like the new ones, so I don't want to listen to them. I'm trying to think of a one that I don't hate, but I'm curious about the new one. Let's hear the new sad one.
Let's go for it.
Let's see. I think this one is like very average. Not terrible. Not good. It's called Memories.
Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones here today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories, and the memories bring back your. There's a time that I remember when I did not know no pain, when I believed in forever and everything would stay the same. Now my heart feel like December when somebody say your name. Cause I can't reach out to call you, but I know I will one day, yeah. Everybody hurts sometimes, everybody hurts someday, yeah, yeah. But everything gon' be alright, gon' raise a glass and say, hey. Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Cause the dreams bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones here today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way. Cause the dreams bring back all the memories, and the memories bring back your. Memories bring back your. There's a time that I remember when I never felt so lost, and I felt all of the hatred was too powerful to stop. And my heart feel like an ember, and it's lighting up the dark. I'll carry these torches for ya, and you know I'll never drop. Yeah. Everybody hurts sometimes, everybody hurts someday, yeah, yeah. But everything gon' be alright. A glass and say, hey. Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were.
Mona and I simply could not take it. That song is so bad.
It was really bad. I lied when I said it was okay. It's terrible.
Terrible is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad, and we don't like it.
We don't like it. Why'd you sell out Maroon 5?
Okay, but wasn't the first song good?
Yeah.
Okay, and I think we should. Oh my God, I found another song of theirs that I like from their old days that
from
I think we
they
should.
Sold
yeah.
Out.
But guys, I have exciting news. My uncle is listening right now.
Ooh.
And as I said this out loud, I realized that I am stupid, and it's because my aunt and uncle are with my parents at my house, which I knew. I just didn't put two and two together. I was like, wow. But he made a good point. He said, let's look at both ends of the spectrum by counting down eight of the biggest singers who never wrote their own songs. Elvis Presley, Elton John, which is a good example of, you know, I mean, what's his name? Bernie, his lyricist. Did you see Rocket Man?
Oh, no, I did not.
I keep wanting to say Bernie Sanders, but it's not that, but it sounds very similar to that. Anyway, Frank Sinatra, Diana Ross, Whitney Houston, Marvin Gaye, Nina Simone, and a surprising one to me, Rihanna. I'm curious to know how he knows this. Uncle, dearest, I'm curious to know how you found this out. Please let me know. Thank you for your... Thank you. Because I think, again, I think
lots
the
of
man makes a point.
Good music.
I don't think not writing your own music is innately selling out.
True.
But I think Maroon 5 is innately selling out.
I think if
out.
You started out writing your music and that's your style, then it's kind of selling out to stop. But if you never did,
then, like,
and like it's your thing, and you have like, I would say some meaning behind like why you...
I'm curious about... I feel like Rihanna's music all sound like it's so Rihanna. Right?
It's a manufactured image.
I don't know. She hasn't written anything. I want him to clarify. Did you see Rocket Man?
I have not seen any of the rock star biographies.
I've only seen that one, and I only need to see that one. But I can't remember his like, part. He has, like, a... Not a romantic... He also has a romantic partner, but he has a...
Writing.
Professional partner who is portrayed so well in the movie, and my mom and I are obsessed with him. He's just so wonderful. He would always... He wrote all the lyrics... And then Elton John sat and, like, played them and sang them.
Some really fire lyrics.
Oh, some incredible lyrics.
And if you want to prevent fires, here are some space heater safety tips. Sorry, Mona.
That was so perfect. I didn't get it, but I love it.
Space heaters can be a very effective form of supplemental heating, allowing you to stay toasty warm in an area that you spend a lot of time in, while helping you save money by keeping the rest of your home at a lower temperature. However, space heaters account for 1/3 of home heating fires and 81% of home heating fire deaths, so it's important to follow the manufacturer's safety and operating instructions. In particular, keep anything that can burn, including paper, bedding, furniture, curtains, pets, and people, at least 3 feet away. Space heaters should be monitored when in operation and always turn them off before leaving your home or going to bed. Never use a portable heater in wet areas like bathrooms or if small children are expected nearby. A message from your fire safety-minded friends here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
It's just not an educational radio. 81%
of home heating fire deaths. That's so many.
I wasn't really listening.
Mona, be safe. Be safe with your space heaters.
I only heard the part where you were like, don't burn the people. What was that? It was like, keep anything that could be burned away from the heater, including pets and humans.
Yeah. I mean, like, small children, they can easily be hurt. So be careful.
Well, for anyone who was wondering, Elton John's lyricist friend is Bernie Taupin, not Bernie Sanders. That would be really funny.
Would be exciting. Bernie Sanders does have an album that you can listen to. It's Credit Rush.
What?
He's a musician, Mona.
Bernie Sanders?
Yeah.
I can't tell if you're kidding or not.
It's completely true.
Bernie Sanders has an album?
Yeah, it's like folky music.
No.
It's like him talking over a band playing. It's very exciting stuff, Mona.
Should we play one of them?
Very perhaps. He sold out from being a musician to being a politician.
See, like, album by 30 Vermont artists and Bernie Sanders. Is it that? We Shall Overcome?
Yeah.
In 1987?
Yeah. Mona, it's...
The album combined folk music and spoken word narrated by Sanders. He was the mayor of Burlington, Vermont at the time of the album's release.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
I'm
it
screaming.
Is exciting stuff.
Oh, my God. Sorry, I'm so distracted from that, but I feel... Oh, I was gonna say, I feel like Bernie Sanders is the opposite of a sellout. He has had his message, and he has stuck
to it. For so many years.
And, like,
40
you
years?
Can trace him back.
Yeah.
And he will be saying the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, he is reliable.
Which I think is appealing to a lot of people.
Which I feel like contrasts, not
the
again...
The corporate... Well, the message is like, don't be wishy-washy. Like, people hate wishy-washy politicians.
Yeah, I don't want to, I don't know, I don't want to bring up a controversial topic.
True,
but,
maybe we shouldn't talk politics.
Oh, I was going to bring it up anyway. I don't really care. But, I mean, I feel like what a lot of people, other than the sexism and systematic everything, but with Hillary Clinton, people felt like they didn't know what she really
stood for.
Because it was just, it felt like whatever the moment called for, mm-hmm. she was like, well, that's what I believe in now. And it's like, well, I don't know. Do you really believe it? I mean, can people really change their minds? Of course.
Yeah.
But did it feel like a genuine,
but also,
I've changed my mind? I don't know.
Can we have somebody who didn't have to change their mind and feel from a good place?
That's a great point, Noah. That's a terrific point. I don't know.
Selling out is everywhere, I think, is a big theme, though.
Yeah, but I feel like our other big theme is that I feel like we demonize selling out, and that's a privilege. Well, not for these politicians, but I don't
demonize
know,
just, what makes
like,
people sell out
polarize,
and not white
also,
people.
Not polarize, what's the word? We also, like, it's like selling out or not, but like it's not.
It's not. Yeah.
It's not. You,
I mean,
it?
At some point, like once you cross a line, like I think it's so easy for the Kardashians these days to like keep selling out because like once you've done it once, the morals, you've already said like money over morals.
I know, but Kim Kardashian also, I mean, this is just a fact. She's freed multiple people who were wrongfully imprisoned from prison. Now, does that make up for the fact that she's probably responsible for, like, millions of women having terrible body image issues?
And, like, probably working in sweatshops to manufacture products.
But, I mean, is Alice Johnson grateful for Kim Kardashian? Yeah, Alice Johnson is grateful for Kim Kardashian. She is. Okay,
this
but
is
what's
out
weird,
of my scope.
Sorry.
I do not deal with the Kardashians.
I'm really upset that this is like all I've been talking about today. I swear I know more than just the Kardashians. Alice Johnson is the original wrongfully imprisoned, like 65-year-old black woman who Kim Kardashian helped free, which is great. The sketchy part is that now Alice Johnson is a model for Kim Kardashian's shapewear line. Which sounds, I don't know how I feel about
that. That feels
kind
of like
selling
out.
But can we be
who
like...
Who can blame someone for not wanting to be in prison?
I know, can we be like, wow, Alice Johnson, you sold out after being wrongfully imprisoned for something, some crazy amount of years, like at least 30 years.
Maybe this is all just broken. Maybe everything is a mess.
Yeah, but maybe that's freeing. I would like all the listeners to know that I know more than just Kardashian trivia.
I know. Yeah, I think there are some people.
That's my PSA for tonight. Mm.
I think there are some people who have sold out for like the fossil fuel industry.
Oh, yeah.
Some point, I'm like,
You gotta stop. Yeah.
Like,
that's really an area where like, it's like please don't.
Like, you as an individual, like, other people were not willing to do. That's the thing. If two people have similar backgrounds and one person says, yeah, I'll do this, and the other person's like, that's a moral crime.
Yeah.
I mean, I think relatively in that case, you can be like, the person who did not represent ExxonMobil is more moral. And like, I don't know how valuable it is to be like, this person is more moral than this other person.
That's the other thing is I feel like we're, again, that doesn't that kind of come back?
Tie back to like,
coming full circle.
What does morality do in society?
Well, I was going to say, coming back to like the kind of intellectual hierarchy that people feel where it's like, well, I'm moral and you're not. And it's like, okay, is that really true?
People also really like to be like, nonviolent protest is so much more moral. And it's like, what if? And it can get things done, but sometimes it doesn't get things mm-hmm. done. And it's like, what's more moral? Like letting people continue to suffer or like mm-hmm. making change and like, maybe getting your hands dirty in the process. I know, questions
that's
I grapple with very often, Mona.
I know. And but also, do you want to go around being like, yeah, violent protest is totally fine?
I think we should just recognize the state's monopoly on violence and recognize that like homelessness and like starvation are forms of violence. And that if it takes some amount of violence to overcome those things, maybe there's a greater good. Maybe that's a bad thing.
No, that's a fair point. On a completely unrelated topic, Spotify and all that. We're using Spotify because we're not supposed to. Spotify does not have the Bernie Sanders album.
I do think it is on...
Are we also not allowed?
Yes. Any streaming service. We're doing our best, WMFO. Listen, and the FCC.
No, this is on Spotify. Spotify, if you don't want to play me to play your music on the radio, I don't know what you want.
Don't get us in trouble.
I'm fearless, Noah. I'm fearless.
Oh, dear.
Bernie Sanders album.
This is very funny.
There's an official video, but I want a song.
Just the song?
Listen to Bernie, the CNN business. I think we'll save this for next week. We need to find a good
version of it.
Yeah. You know?
We have 10 minutes left. Any good takeaways about selling out?
I mean, again,
I guess complicated. So
remember
when we used to do this, like, okay, here's the problem, what's the solution? Do you have good solutions?
Oh, we did used to do that. Because we tried to be hopeful at the end. We were so young and beautiful.
We've sold out to the college. And
I mean, again, I think if you have a choice.
Something I wanted to think about was, like, there's a saying that, like, young liberals don't have have too much heart, and like old conservatives have too much brain or something. Ooh. It's like, sell out your morals because money gets you in the end. That's like the whole thing, is like
money
gets you in the end, and you have to be pragmatic, and pragmatism is like
pragmatism,
the world is awful and you just have to be a bad person. And like, this is a terrible take.
Wait, I don't know. Are you asking me something, or are you making
just
a
like
statement?
That was more of a statement, okay. I guess.
Thank you for your statement.
What's the solution? Make it so that people aren't dependent on money, so they don't have to sell out.
Yeah, that's a achievable, realistic, manageable solution.
Everybody has.
I mean,
I guess the
individual solution is that you try. I mean, you just try your best.
You don't let it be an excuse. You don't say.
But also, I think if you're in a situation where you could be selling, like, again, part of it is like attitude. Like, if you're in a broken system, I don't know. Again, I already exposed my dad.
Well, I know some anarchists who are like, I don't want to vote because, like, I don't believe in electoral politics. And it's like, well, people suffer when you don't vote. That's a terrible... I can understand morally why you feel that way. But the material consequences... Maybe that's how we should make these judgments. Like, what are the material consequences? Because if you work for... Maybe that's what selling out is all about. Like, how does your action impact others versus, like, how it benefits yourself? And if there's a big net consequence on other people and you're giving them this burden just so you can have a better life, maybe you shouldn't do it. Maybe then we can say, that's morally wrong. So, like, maybe being, like, a fossil fuel lawyer is, like, you're hurting other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's wrong. But being, like, maybe being a musician, you're not... hurting other people.
Okay, but I was gonna say the flip side of that, which is that it doesn't matter what you do, it's how you do it. You can do pretty much any... I feel like you can do pretty much any job, and you can either do it in a really harmful, terrible way, or you can do it in a really incredible way. Like, I mean, you seem to think like being a teacher. If you're a terrible teacher, and your kid... you are the reason the kids hate...
School? Mm-hmm.
Okay, then you're not doing a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you are an amazing teacher, then you're doing an incredible thing. There's a good quote for this. It's like, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you feel alive and go do it, because the world needs more people who are alive.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought you were going to go, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do.
No,
I was like,
you're like, what? No, I think...
Yeah, no.
I mean, you can be a hairdresser.
But what if, like, the school is like, in order for us to get funding, you have to use this Common Core. And you're like, this is a bad way to teach.
But can't you, I don't know, maybe this is idealistic, but can't you then put your own spin on it and make it, if you know, I mean, the burden shouldn't be on the teacher.
Maybe not at the
time. I'm just saying, I feel like when people go out and are like, okay, well, I'm going to I'm going to not follow my passion because I feel like I should be doing X, Y, and Z. I don't know. Some of the greatest people I have met are like estheticians. What's the word? Like beauty. Mm. People who work in the beauty industry.
Well, maybe that's survivorship bias. Maybe we like glorify the people who go... Because I definitely think we glorify people who don't sell out and make it. Because like I guess there is a like place for like people who don't sell out and make it. But at the same time, I think we don't see a lot of people who... refuse to sell out, but then don't make it, and they're just forgotten and lost and don't get anything.
If you can work in the system, then you're doing your best.
Everybody do your best.
Everyone do your best.
That's the takeaway.
That's the solution. Try your hardest.
Next week.
I love how we act as though we have any authority to say a single thing. No one and I are like, and with our expert opinion, we can safely conclude that what you all need to be doing...
I've taken like, 2 civic studies classes. I think I know what I'm talking about.
I'm really proud to announce that we are only playing Maroon 5 today.
What a day for Mona Noah Save the World.
Listen, we are going to have a good ratio. We started off with an incredible Maroon 5 song. We played a terrible song.
Decidedly terrible.
We're going to go out with one of the greatest Maroon 5 songs. I'm stalling because I feel like it's a little early, but should we just it's
well, fine. We can say
I feel
the tag.
Like it's time.
This is Mona and Noah Save the World, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Free From Radio.
And listeners, y'all should stick around because our peeps are in the house. Our guys, Danny and Evan, are here for their show that I can never remember the name of. So upset. Oh, yes. Which one is that?
2.
And second. This is Danny.
Or Evan.
It's Evan.
What's up, guys?
It's Evan. Oh, my God. I'm making such a fool out of myself.
She can't see the microphone.
Listen,
she can't see me behind the microphone.
Yeah,
hey, I was listening to you guys saving the world earlier.
Thank you.
And the sellouts. And I have one for you.
Oh, tell
so
us.
So I have a thought.
Tell us.
All right. When your uncle called in, and he was talking about musicians.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Aside from the musicians not... writing their own songs,
okay.
Which, like you said, there's 2 sides to that story.
Yeah.
But what about a band like Hootie and the Blowfish? Darius Rucker started off with Hootie and the Blowfish, but really wanted to be a country musician,
ooh.
So he went pop, so he could get his name and his and the word mm-hmm. out there of the talents that he has. What's your take on that?
I think good for him, honestly.
Like,
like good
think,
for him.
I think the idea is I wish there was a better way to not have to be a pop musician. I wish you could just be a country musician.
Yeah, but did he end up being a country musician?
He's an incredibly successful one right now.
Yeah.
And but he's flat out admitted that he wanted to be a country musician all the time, and this is how he was going to get there. He was going to make his name known and then be able to do it the way he wanted to do it rather than the record labels.
Listen. Evan, I'm happy for him. I am. I wish I had a more deep take on it, but I feel like he went out there. I'm also, as you can maybe tell, a pop music fan, and I think there's nothing wrong with pop. I don't know what the whole,
Maybe next week we'll talk about culture.
I'm going to make a fool out of myself if we do that, because my takes on culture are like...
Let us all be uncultured. But that is culture.
Listen, we should do... Okay, we'll do that. Stay tuned. Evan, we're going to talk about this next week.
All right, sounds like
okay.
a plan.
Okay, and I'm so happy. Can you tell the listeners what the name of your show is? Because I've never remembered.
It's The Lounge Saturdays.
The Lounge!
It's an easy one.
Okay, it's because The Loft is before us.
The Loft precedes us, and The Lounge follows us.
So then I'm like, well, it's not The Loft. So it's The Loft, and then The Lounge.
The Lounge.
The Lounge, everyone. Get it in your heads.
Enjoy this Maroon 5, and The Lounge will be right back.
Yes.